This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
As we do, I've got a little personal news to share with you. The 2025 season will be my final one as the Nats primary TV play-by-play guy, whatever you like to call me, I'm okay with that. But I've got a new deal working for next year as a full-time husband, dad, and grandpa. And it's been pretty cool to have the kids around for the last couple of months after they moved home from Seattle.
That was Bob Carpenter yesterday as he and his cohort in the booth, our buddy Kevin Franzen, were getting ready for exhibition baseball that never happened. The Nats and the Orioles rained out at Nationals Park. But that was the big news in D.C. sports, and Bob is kind enough to join us now on our guest hotline to discuss season number 20 for him calling Nats games and one final ride this year at the mic. Bob, it is great to have you on the show. Danny's out sick today, so it's me and Toby. How are you?
Hey, good to talk to you guys. Grant, good to see you at the ballpark yesterday. And I noticed that you, unbeknownst to me, took a kind of a covert picture of us while we were on camera through the window on our booth door. Did you do that?
That was a high-definition, brand-new cell phone award-winning photo that I took.
Well done. While we were on camera, I saw somebody doing something in the window over there, but I couldn't tell what it was. And then a little bit later, I saw your post. So well done by you.
Well, I hope it wasn't too distracting. But there's a lot to get into here. But you said in the announcement yesterday, you know, call me whatever you want to, primary. There's no primary. You are the play-by-play television face and voice of Nationals baseball. And you have been for 20 years, since day one for so many of us with this ball club. It's been you in the booth. So you're synonymous with this team every bit as much as a Wirth or a Zimmerman or anybody else. In fact, you've been there more and longer than those guys. When we turn on the TV, it's been you. So this is going to be quite a transition for a lot of people. But how'd you come to the decision?
Well, you know, Dan, Grant, I'm a guy who kind of looks for signals. And I believe that things happen for a reason. And over the off season, our kids moved with their kids back to Oklahoma from Seattle. We had not, you know, we'd been far, far apart for a long time. And so suddenly the grandkids are showing up and I'm running over to their house. And they actually lived with us for a couple of months. Boy, was grandma glad to get her house back when they finally found a place to live. But and then we lost Deb's mom right before Christmas after a long illness. And it was an off season of transition for us. And so, you know, I've been thinking about this for a while. Initially, I thought I was going to retire a couple of years ago when I became a 70-40 man. 70 years old, 40 years in the big leagues. And, you know, I saw this young team and I saw that some things happening, and I was still excited about doing baseball. Not that I'm not now, but I just, you know, that was 2 years ago. And so now we've got some things going on at home. I've been married to my beloved Debbie for 45 years. She tells our friends I've been home for half of it. And, you know, it's kind of a joke, but in a way it's funny, in a way it's not.
That's the key to a great marriage, right? Just being away as much as possible.
She's unbelievable. The girl is absolutely unbelievable. Great mom, and now she's blossomed as a grandma and the best wife a guy could ever ask to have. So I'm very, very blessed in that respect. And I met your wife the other day down in spring training, and your little guy, you know what I'm talking about. The whole family thing, it changes your life. And I just thought that, you know, I'm 72 years old. I got this job, Grant, when I was 53. I mean, who's out looking for 53-year-old announcers? Of course, now I can kid Dave Sims because he's 70 or 71, and the Yankees just hired him to come back home from Seattle and do the Yankee games on radio. So, you know, maybe the age thing doesn't mean what it used to. But it just seemed like a really good time for me. And I'm so grateful to Mark Lerner and Alan Gottlieb, my two direct contact guys. We've been talking about my schedule for the last couple of years. They've been wonderful about letting me, first of all, cut it back and take some time off. And then, you know, now we're talking about this. And I had a meeting with both of them down in West Palm Beach last week. It was awesome. Spent about an hour and a half with those guys. And, you know, we're all about the same age. And the great thing about it is, Grant, I work for them, but we're also friends. And that's pretty rare. I guess that only happens maybe late in your career. And I got to hand it to Alan. He said something to me about 4 years ago. We were talking about my schedule getting cut back a little bit. He said, you know, Bob, he said, we want you to work here as long as you want to. And I looked at him and said, we never hear that in broadcasting. Are you kidding me? Nobody has ever said that to me before. And, you know, whatever the job pays or whatever, you know, it is to sit in the booth and watch a Major League Baseball game every day, to hear that from somebody that you work for, it's unbelievable. And I will never, ever forget that.
Bob, it's a pleasure to talk to you. You've been here every step of the way, basically, with the Nationals, and you've seen kind of this grow from the team returning to D.C. to eventually a World Series in 19 to now. How have you seen the fan base and the way that the city has embraced the Nationals change over the years?
Well, you know, it's interesting because they had been without baseball for, what, about 33 years when that first pitch was thrown in 05. I wasn't here for that first year. Of all of our broadcasters, only Charlie was here in 05, and then Dave came aboard on radio, and I came aboard TV in 06. So the passion that our fans have for baseball and for the Nats really hasn't, in my opinion, the passion part of it was there from the beginning. And hopefully, you know, we've attracted thousands and tens of thousands of more fans as we've gone along. But, you know, I think everybody's always known that this area is great for baseball. We just never had any teams before with the Senators that, you know, were able to compete very much in the American League. And I know for a while they were considered a farm club of the Yankees, as were the Kansas City A's, always, you know, players leaving and heading up that way. And so, you know, baseball's been a big deal around here for a long time, and it's great that it's finally come full circle back to the Nats. So I think somebody in St. Louis, because the Cardinals let me out of the last year of my contract in 06 to come here. I was only doing like 40, 45 TV games a year for them. So it wasn't that big of a deal. But I remember one of the writers asking me about leaving St. Louis, my hometown. I worked for the Cardinals. My sister worked there for 52 years in the front office. We've got 94 years between us in Major League Baseball now, by the way. And I said, you know what? I feel like I'm leaving a great baseball city to go to the next great baseball city in America. And it took a little while, culminating in 19. And I still feel that way about D.C., that it's a wonderful baseball area. Having said that, you got to win to pack the ballpark, and hopefully we're on the road back to doing that.
Yeah, we'll talk about this team in the 2025 season in just a bit. Bob Carpenter is with us after making the announcement that this will be his 20th and his final year in the booth in D.C., 42 years calling games. in this final season, it's so hard. I always think about the comp I have, I guess, would be my wedding, where like everyone was like, hey, make sure you just soak it up. And you stop and you look around and you try to really make it last. There's no way to do that. You know this like I do. It's going to fly by, but you got to make the attempt. Like, what are some of your goals in that way? I love that you made the announcement before the start of the season so that you can kind of take those moments and try to enjoy it and hopefully, you know, get some of the reverence and the love that you deserve along the way also.
Well, and I got to tell you that to approach it that way, that was kind of the idea of Wendy Bailey over at the Nats. She's my, I guess you would, I actually work for Mass, and I'm employed by Mass, but, you know, close relationship with the Nats. But, you know, but Wendy told me a year or two ago, and Jackie Coleman, who was here before that, a wonderful lady. You know, I had been discussing this with Jackie and then Wendy when she took over. And both of them had said strikingly the same thing to me. We hope that you let us know early enough when you make the decision so that we can honor you and then you can really enjoy your last time around the block. And it turned out I hadn't really thought about it that much, Grant, in terms of that approach. And it really got me to thinking, wow, what a cool thing that would be. To get to this point, it took a lot of thought. You know, it took some prayer on the part of Debbie and me, and we talked about this a lot. I mean, we've been building up to this for quite a while. And I got to give those ladies some credit for, you know, planting that seed in my mind. Now it's happened. And here's the funny thing about yesterday, Grant. I heard you talking about us coming on the air. This was going to be like a one-minute announcement. Franny was going to come in and say something, and then we were going to go to commercial, and Dan was going to come out of commercial with a quick interview with Davey down by the dugout, and then first pitch. Well, the rain delay happens, and then it turns out that myself and Franny and Dan, you know, we sit around talking for about 10 or 12 minutes because we had time to fill, and, you know, Franny and Dan, you know, great friends, guys I work with, known for a long time. They were both so awesome to me yesterday. You know, it got a little emotional in the booth when, you know, I kind of let them know what was going on because we kept it pretty quiet. But it was really cool the way it kind of turned out that, you know, the tarp went on the field and then the lid came off the telecast as we talked amongst ourselves about me for a while. But then, we got around to talking about the ball club and all that. And maybe that's my segue into your next question. But it was kind of cool the way it all shook out yesterday. And I liked it because I really was able to look into the camera and let our Nats fans know how I feel about them. Because you can talk about who you work for, what the ball club is, how much money you make, you know, yada, 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 down the line. But for me, and I grew up in a place where the fans love baseball. For me here in D.C., it's a relationship between myself, Franny, Dan, and the fans. That's the most important thing because, you know, every night we're here to announce a ball game. You're inviting us into your living room. We want to entertain you. We want to inform you. We want to give you an honest call, good or bad, on how the team's going. And I think we've accomplished that. And it was pretty awesome that we had a couple of extra minutes yesterday for me to express those things.
Bob, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but just thinking back.
Go ahead.
Thinking back on your time here, what are some of your favorite memories of calling Nats games, whether it's with the broadcasters you're working with the team, whatever it may be?
Well, you know, on the field, and that's what I'd like to focus on, obviously, getting to know Ryan Zimmerman, Mr. National, the total look of exhilaration and relief on Ryan's face that night in 2012 in the first base dugout when we clinched our first playoff spot. And we were in the midst of losing a game, but we clinched postseason that night. You know, and then as we moved along, the Jordan Zimmerman no-hitter, which is probably the most electrifying moment I've ever called. You know, I called a lot of McGuire's homers and all that stuff back in 98 and some other division clinchers and stuff. But for a singular moment on the last play of the season, with Steven Souza making that unbelievable catch. And, you know, Jordan and Wilson Ramos being the only two guys on the field who started that game on the last day of the season. That was probably the most electrifying moment. Well, then comes, you know, and before that, Steven Strasburg's major league debut when he mowed down 14 Pirates. Unbelievable. You know, and then comes Max with the two no-hitters, the 20-strikeout game, the Kurt Suzuki homer, in the bottom of the ninth when the Nats scored 7 runs to beat the Mets in September of 19. That was an electrifying moment. I mean, I could name off dozens and dozens, but those are the ones that kind of jump out at me. You know, guys, because on local TV, our season is the regular season. Charlie and Dave get the privilege and the honor of calling the postseason games on radio. We don't get that. So, you know, those moments during the season are the ones we hang our hats on, and those are the ones I remember most.
Well, after the announcement, Danny and I were live on the air yesterday, and the anecdote I told, the first thing that came to mind in our personal relationship with you, you probably will not remember this because I was just a portly fella in your way, but one of the real thrills for me of the World Series run was when you were relegated to fan number 7 or whatever. You stood in the booth in Houston watching the World Series with me and Danny standing behind Charlie and Dave because there wasn't a seat to be had in the joint. And so we were all in the booth. So I got to watch the World Series right next to Bob Carpenter, which was pretty good. Dave still makes fun of Danny for how much he nervously ate during game 1 of that World Series.
Well, I had my share of trips to the concession stand, too. No, I remember that, Grant. And, you know, that happened to us in St. Louis. It happened to us in San Francisco, L.A., all the other places where the Nats, Chicago, Wrigley Field. They didn't have room for us anywhere. I don't know where FP went. He probably found a bar in the ballpark somewhere.
He was not there, I can assure you. Yeah.
Yeah, he was having a couple of pops, and I was trying to keep score because I wanted, I had fans ask me, are you going to keep score of the postseason games even though you're not doing them? And I hadn't really thought about it, and then I decided to do it. So I know that I've been in the booth with Charlie and Dave. I remember at Dodger Stadium sitting on an overturned trash can next to Jack in the back of the booth and, you know, watching those games. And in San Francisco, there was no room for anybody to do anything because the ballpark footprint there is so small. Chip Winfield, my producer, he and I, we'd be done with our pregame show about 15 minutes before the game. We left the ballpark, took a cab back to the hotel. We'd watch about 7 innings on TV. I'm grabbing lunch and everything back at the hotel. And then he and I get back in a cab and head back over to the Giants ballpark so we could do our postgame deal. So, you know, all kind of crazy scenarios. And it was tough for me because in my entire career, I've only called 4 postseason games. Those were on radio with the Cardinals back in the LCS in 96. Jack Buck got sick and had to miss 4 games. I called games 4, 5, 6, and 7. Cardinals are up 3-1. They lost 3 in a row, and the Braves went to the World Series to play the Yankees. So those are the only postseason games I've ever gotten the call. I treasured those. In fact, the future National was on that team, and Dimitri Young, who had a big hit in game 4, and I'll never forget that. So, yeah, the whole postseason thing was kind of unusual. But I remember all of us crammed into that tiny booth in Houston, and, you know, it was a pain in the rear end at the time, but it turns into a pretty good memory.
Bob, appreciate the time. Always great. Can't wait to hear you on the call on Thursday.
Well, guys, the Phillies are in town. It's a whole new ball game, so here we go. And, Grant, I just want you to know that you and Danny, Philly, all you guys, you've been fantastic to me over the years. I really appreciate it. And we'll look forward to seeing you at the ballpark all year long as we go one more time around the block here.
Yeah, let's do it. And we'll enjoy not only watching ball, but celebrating what has been in just an incredible career. You should be very, very proud. And just the way you carry yourself and the way you treat everybody is something to look up to, one of the good guys in the business. So we appreciate you, Bob. Thank you.
Gentlemen, thank you so much.
You got it. Bob Carpenter, the 20th season on the call of the Nats on Masson, will be his 42nd and final in a booth, joining us on Grant and Danny. I was going to ask him about see you later, because I honestly don't know when that began or when he started using it. I'm not a catchphrase guy, typically. That one is succinct and easy,
oh, yes,
and it's perfect, and it works in baseball. So that is one that I would categorize as something I like. But I wonder when that started and how that all came about for Bob. Because now a Nats home run on TV without that doesn't really feel like a – it's like, do you even lift, bro? I mean, if a tree falls in
is
the woods –
is it real or is it not?
Right? But Nat homers and you don't hear Bob Carpenter see you later. What happened?
I just got into keeping score of games a couple of years ago when I first got into media. So I think at some point I'm going to have to pick Bob's brain about keeping score.
Do you have a Bob Carpenter scorebook?
I don't, but I need to get one.
So most people know this, I'd say, but this is a little bit of insider radio, like play-by-play type shtick. But Bob's scorebook that he designed for himself has become the broadcaster scorebook that everybody uses. So I'm sure initially he's like mailing them out of his house, right? Now, I highly doubt that's still happening. But if you call play-by-play for the Rangers or the Mets or the AA, you know, Tulsa Drillers or whatever, you're ordering a Bob Carpenter scorebook. And that's why he's Scorebook Bob. And nobody keeps score in a way that is kind of more the de facto masterclass way to do it. Hey, how do I do this? And I always ask him sometimes after a play, because I have my own shorthand way of doing it. But it's like, how do you score that? Or what do you write for this? He's always got the answer.
Yeah, and I mean, he's had to adapt because there's now walks on pitch clock violations.
Right.
There's strikeouts on pitch clock. He's evolved. He's got all that stuff down. It's incredible.
Excited, though, to get to celebrate him with Nats fans all year long. Appreciate a couple of minutes from him today. Another of our tremendous play-by-play broadcasters in town, Joe Beninati, is going to be on the show at 6 o'clock, previewing the biggest regular season Caps matchup of the year as they play the best team in the West, the number two team in the NHL behind them, the Winnipeg Jets. But next on Grant and Danny, I actually want to get back into this Trey Hendrickson discussion that you and I stumbled into at the end of the hour.
Oh, boy.
Because we might have unearthed something about Toby Altizer that is not for public consumption. We may make it for public consumption. You're listening to The Fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Did you know there's an online tool that can help you find information on almost anyone within minutes? Confidentially search millions of public records by phone number, address, name, or email to find out more. Go to TruthFinder.com to find information about almost anyone now.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port-in, 90-plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
So I didn't bother digging too deep into this story. I just saw the report circulating last night that the NCAA and Raleigh police were looking into basically Dan Hurley being a meanie. Did you guys see this story? Like, he was mean to someone, so now somebody wanted to press charges.
Was that real?
I don't know. Here's what I do know. Everything I see of Dan Hurley, including the most recent video of him coming off the floor, talking about them getting bleeped over and hopes the next team to take the floor doesn't get screwed. He is a great basketball coach. That's the nicest thing I can say about his personality. Like when the joke is, like you think he's good looking? And she's like, he's a nice person, right? You think Dan Hurley's a cool guy? Would you want to hang out with him? He's awesome at coaching basketball.
Yeah, he's a great basketball coach.
He just seems like one of the biggest jerks in sports ever.
The funny part is afterwards, I don't know if you saw this, he was crying, talking to Tracy Wolfson after the game and, you know, kind of post locker room. And he goes, there's honor in the way we went out. Is there? When you're leaving the arena saying, I hope they don't bleep you too. Like, come on, man. Like, can we be real?
I guess there's honor in pushing a one seed to the brink.
There is.
I think that's what he meant. But there's never any honor in anything that he does in terms of his actions.
His players don't do it, so there's honor in how they went out, not how he went out.
He's just not likable.
He's not.
And that's not a crime. That's okay to be a jerk.
He can flash two rings at us the second that we want to say anything. So he's a heck of a basketball coach.
At this moment, probably the best basketball coach in America.
Yeah.
Fair?
Yeah.
But man, is he, like, if you're talking biggest jerk in sports right now, who tops him?
Yeah, he's insufferable.
And I mean jerk in the sense of unlikable meter, in terms of, like, you see the guy and you just get that visceral, like, oh, I don't like that guy feeling. I mean, who would rank ahead of Dan Hurley in the biggest jerk in sports race right now? He would extend his sternum and run into the ribbon before anybody else in that race.
I'm sure there's names, but names that I don't feel like saying. Right? Like, it's a select company of guys who would fit up there.
I have a hard time. Even people that, I'm not even talking about divisive figures that people don't like.
Sure.
Like, LeBron James is a great example. LeBron's got more haters than anybody.
Yeah.
He's also got more people that love him than anybody.
Yeah.
That's just a heavy lies the crown thing. It's back to American Gangster and Frank Lucas. I mean, you could be successful, Frank. You could have enemies. You could be unsuccessful. You could have friends. If you are the man, then a lot of people will like you. A lot of people will hate you. Stephen A. Smith makes more money than anybody on television. $20 million a year. It ain't for me, I'll tell you that. But it's clearly for somebody. It's for a lot of people. He's got a lot of people that don't like him. He's got a lot of people that like him. Colin Cowherd, top of his game in our industry, right? More haters than you do, Toby. More haters than I do.
Yeah.
I'll take him because he's also got way more people putting him over and paying him money than we do. But I'm telling you, there is nobody, and I mean nobody in sports right now that's a bigger jerk than that guy.
I was laughing. There was a bit. You couldn't hear what he was saying, but he was coaching up his players at some point. I think it was about right before a foul shot, and he was like pointing around saying something, and his assistant comes over and whispers something in his ear. And, like, in middle of instructing his players, he's like, hey, make sure box out, shut up.
I saw that. So funny.
Just throws in a shut up to his assistant.
Did you guys see
in the middle.
This video? So it's slowed down. And obviously we can't hear the audio. But it's a video of telecast, I think, of just in-game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing the coaches thing. We've all seen it. Left hand on the hip, kind of pulling the jacket back behind him, right? And he's got his pointer finger extended, and he's going like, hey, run two. We got to make sure you pick him up. And his assistant is just trying to tell him something, whatever his job is. Hey, we only have one timeout left, or make sure that Stewie knows that, you know, he can't burn the timeout, whatever the hell it is. And he straight up just looks at him and says, shut up, and goes right back to what he's doing. Must be fun to work with that guy.
Yeah, insufferable, to say the least. And by the way, this guy would have never worked as the Lakers head coach. Never would have worked.
Why do you say that?
That personality, melding with LeBron, who runs through coaches every 2 years, no chance.
Okay, I agree with.
I think his philosophy works at any level of basketball.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think LeBron's just not on the Lakers anymore, and you bring him in and you run a real organization.
I think he could work as an NBA head coach potentially. I think there'd be a little more friction because those guys are making more than you are. And so there's going to be some friction there, but he definitely wouldn't have worked with the Lakers this year.
I always wonder about the transition from the stupendous college coach to the pros, the guy that was so good, because the way that you treat people has to change immensely.
Oh, big time.
There's some babysitting that goes on in college that allows you to dictate a lot more. You guys were hosting this day. I have no idea if you mentioned this or not, but I saw the story while I was in West Palm, and I thought, man, I wish I was on the air because I'd love to talk about this for a half hour. Did you see the story about the Angels and Ron Washington?
Yeah, we talked about this.
You did. Not allowing cell phones in the clubhouse anymore. They're basically telling players you can't be on
the cell phone. I'm going to let you guess which side Danny was on this.
I think it's the dumbest, most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, so I'm going to assume Danny loved it.
Yeah, Danny loved it.
I think Danny's insane.
Now,
grown-ass men, professional adults, that would be, is CK going to do that for us? Now, I know the sports and you know, non-sports comps can get hairy and are normally not worthwhile.
Yes.
But it's really no different. We're professional, grown-up human beings. You're not going to tell me when I can and cannot be on a cell phone.
So I'm somewhere in the middle. I think it's dumb, but at the same point, I understand it. You have to understand your ball club. Like, if you're going to say that you can still listen to music and you can still, you know, scroll occasionally, whatever, I don't care. If you're, you know, eating lunch and you're able to do it, but just not when you're hanging out in the clubhouse, I don't mind trying to create more of a family, but at the same point, they are grown adults.
So I'm okay with trying to create a family atmosphere. If you want to do something fun where, hey, when we are in the cafeteria or the lunch area, let's put our phones in the basket so that we can all sit around and share some fellowship and get to know each other. Something like that, maybe. Sure. The idea that you cannot have a cell phone in the clubhouse, or you're not allowed to be on your phone for periods of time while you're at work, it's a joke. I mean, I am, like, this is black and white to me. This is the dumbest thing that I've ever heard. And to come from the Angels makes perfect sense.
Oh, yeah.
Because pretty much everything they've done for about 8 years has been stupid.
That's why I also don't mind it. You might as well try something. Nothing else has worked. Try something extreme.
You're bad at making trades. You're bad at getting players to the big leagues who are ready. You know, you draft and rush guys. I mean, they don't do anything particularly well, so add your cell phone policy to that, as far as I'm concerned. And keep not competing in the American League West and just ruining Mike Trout's career, although his health has done some of that too. Bruce in Silver Spring, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Gentlemen, how can you leave Rick Pitino or Bob Huggins off of that list to compete with Bobby Hurley? Please.
Okay, so this is a different class, Bruce, of jerk, I think. This is like a different, to me, and you'll have to explain what you mean, but you're getting at like the sleaziness and the, you know, the same feeling you get when like a politician who's been in trouble is on TV and you're like, ah. You know, to me, that's not, and I don't know his background, but I don't think Hurley's got a ton of that. I just see the guy and how he treats people and yells at officials and every foul isn't a personal affront to him. I think that's different than like Pitino in the diner or Huggins getting his whatever number DUI.
I'm really happy that you know those stats and background on those two. I can concede your point that, you know, it's how Hurley conducts himself on the sidelines.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's that one dynamic, if you want to call it that, on the sidelines. There's another where you're living that lifestyle that the other two that I brought up. And I really think that they hide that behind the scenes. We may not see that on camera, but man, if that's how you live your life off scene, I have to imagine that pollutes the boys that are under their tutelage.
So thank you for the phone call. I think there's something to that. I'm going like non-criminal, non-trouble division. I guess I should provide the caveat.
To his point there, you're making an assumption that something's happening. There's no assumption being made with the other guys you mentioned, right? Like, there's no assumption. There's facts, and it you have to work off of that.
I'm going likability at the workplace.
Yeah, I mean,
that's kind of what I'm talking
about. Are you a decent individual who treats people with respect? Dan Hurley can check the box, no. He just doesn't.
I just got word, by the way, Caps fans, this is pretty cool. At 4:40 today, in 1 hour, the GM of the team, Chris Patrick, will join us to talk about the Jacob Chychrun extension.
Love it.
So I'm fired up to discuss what has been a masterclass from him and Brian McClellan since the start of the offseason for the best team in hockey, as they play the second best team in hockey tonight. That game's at 8 o'clock in Winnipeg. You'll hear it right here on 106.7 The Fan. We'll get you a double play next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We're blitzing at 4, and remember, in 20 minutes at 4 ahead of the Blitz, we're giving away a 4-pack of tickets to Defenders opening day this Sunday as the UFL season kicks off over at Audi Field. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny without Danny today on The Fan. Toby Altizer flanks me, and we've got Darris Dameron and Ryan Clary on the production. So a cast of four, sans Rouye in studio on Half Street, a couple blocks from Nats Park, where we kick off the Major League Baseball season with an opening day special show from the field on Thursday at 2. Remember, tomorrow at 5 o'clock right here on Grant and Danny, Charlie and Dave will be joining us out at Lost Rhino Brew Pub in Ashburn. Cannot wait to get out there for the show at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Tress Way is going to be there as well with us from 2:30 to 3:30. So if you time it right, you can be there for a couple hours, meet Tress, listen to the show, meet Charlie and Dave, get your Commanders, your Nats fix, all things DC sports. Fired up about that. Rest of the show is going to be good. We've got Chris Patrick, the GM of the Capitals. We've got a deal done with Jacob Chychrun on an 8-year extension today that was announced by the team. He'll be joining us to talk about the deal they struck with their defenseman in less than an hour, right at 4:40 on the Fan. But let's get you your double play, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. So, Toby, if you've got one of these, I would love to hear it. But I was thinking yesterday, apropos of nothing, about things that I've accidentally sent people that I didn't mean to send them, that came back to bite your boy in the butt a little bit. There are a few of these, a couple of which I will not be sharing on this radio program. But there is one that's particularly uncomfortable that I am willing to share. And if you guys have one of these and you want to hop in, we'd love to take your call at 800-636-1067. So, Obama style, let me be clear. This is something that was meant for someone that you sent to a person that wasn't the someone you meant to. So, my best one involves the show, as a matter of fact. Longtime friend of the program, Major League pitcher, former Nats reliever, Brandon Kinstler, was the recipient of this text message from me. He opened up his phone. He received a text that said, just this and nothing else. He sees it. Says, Grant Paulson. Let's see what Grant texted me. Daddy can't wait to get home to play with his little girl. I texted that to Brandon Kinstler. Now, before you say, that's really weird, Grant. Yeah, it is.
Correct.
It doesn't sound better if I tell you it was meant for my wife. However, get your heads out of the gutter. Okay? This is not what you think it is. So we had just gotten married. I know, still doesn't sound better. We had just gotten back from our honeymoon. I know! It still doesn't sound better. I'm getting there, you creeps. Okay? So I texted my wife that I couldn't wait to get home, fresh off our honeymoon, to play with my little girl. Leave me alone about it, you jerks. Anyway, any hoodles. What I was talking about was the puppy that we had just gotten.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Fiona the French Bulldog.
Okay, yeah.
We got Fiona the French Bulldog. She was born the day after our wedding. We got married on February 10th. She was born on February 11th. We got her 8 weeks after that or whatever. So this was 2 days after we got the French Bulldog. We were doing this, and newly married couples that get a dog, they do this, Toby. You're going to do it at some point. You pretend like you're a parent now. It's like the cute little thing. You're playing house and you got a dog. Ryan and his girlfriend will get a dog in like a week. And they're going to be texting each other about their baby and the stroller.
Sure, of course. Yeah, yeah.
It's nonsense, but it's just what you do. Okay? You do it. You've all done it. You won't admit to it, but you've done it. So I got sucked into doing it. So I texted her and I said, Daddy can't wait to get home to play with his little girl. Talking about my dog. And Brandon Kinstler got the text. And I didn't realize that. Until I got a text from Brandon Kinstler.
That's tough.
And he said, excuse me? And I'm like, what is... Oh, my God. Meant for my wife.
That's tough.
Went to a Nats reliever.
That's tough.
You got one, Toby? Anything stand out for you?
I don't want to sound better than anyone. I just can't recall any right now that are egregious. I'm sure I've sent a wrong text. I can't think of anything too bad. Now, I've caught myself a couple of times... Our boss's name is very similar to one of my buddy's names.
Gotta be careful.
Sometimes sending different things, different text messages, different jokes and different things. I have to make sure they're not going to the boss.
Gotta be careful.
Make sure they're going to the friend. But I can't think of anything egregious.
Also, if you're texting a couple of girls at the same time, be careful that the right text goes to the right.
Well, I've never had that problem, Grant.
No?
No. Never had that problem.
My favorite thing is self-deprecation shtick with Toby when it comes to his dating life.
Yeah, I've never had problems with that.
With what?
Multiple. Right. The issue might be just finding one.
I get so psyched. All right, Clary, you got one.
Yeah, this is one that like still stings to this day.
Is it one that when you think about it, you just like cringe a little bit?
Oh, I cringe so hard. It's a different kind of cringe.
Did you want to play with a puppy too? Or
I did not want to play with a puppy in this one. This was back in high school, actually. And I remember it like it was yesterday because this person actually was my neighbor who I kind of grew up with and known very well. And we were paired up in a science project with another buddy of mine. And this neighbor of mine just did not do any work, did not do any of the work, was not ready for the presentation, and I was going to text my buddy just trashing my neighbor, just being like, this person is not prepared. It's so obvious they have not done their part. Just going in on this person. I send the text, and then I get a reply from the person that I was supposed to be trashing that it sent to that person and said, LOL, what? And I remember just panicking. Sitting next to this person, by the way.
The next 5 minutes are so critical.
Oh,
you've got to start taking out a shovel and just digging out of this hole.
Well, I mean,
what can you come up with? How quickly and how stupid are they? That's what matters in the next couple
of
minutes.
Knowing me, I'm really good under pressure, right? So
yeah, I bet you didn't know it's a football of
I did not do it. So then I just doubled down and just started going in.
Did
on
you
this
start
person.
By pointing at them a bunch? Just doing the double guns?
I could have done that. But I doubled down and started just going in on this person and being like, it's a joke. Like, I was just joking. And I don't know if the person ever bought it. We're not friends today.
Okay.
So this person does not live next to me anymore either. So there's that. That was an awful situation where I just felt terrible.
Dad, any issues here?
So I can't think of any in particular that have been super cringy. I know I've had the occasional, like, an emoji slips in there that might be not appropriate for whatever conversation is I'm having with a person, or or autocorrect.
It just automatically
just like, you know, your finger slips. You hit. You're trying to spam, say, like, the crying face emoji, and then somehow you send
that problem.
And then somehow you hit the kissy face emoji too, and it's like, oh,
are you a
whoops,
crying face emoji texter?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah. I know this whole show hates that, but
I'm
stayed
quiet
that.
On that. You've never acknowledged that. I can't wait to tell Danny.
Yeah, I'm
big crying face emoji guy.
Yeah, I just don't do it in our group text because I know you guys hate it, so I stay away from it. The most I'll do in our group text
one too, the hand on the chin one.
It depends on the conversation.
Oh, that's
yeah. I try not to do it as like because I hate when people use it as like a overthinking kind of thing. I like it more as like a statement. I don't know. It's weird. But and then the other thing would be autocorrect. You know, sometimes autocorrect will get you.
Oh, it's gotten
in some bad ways. But other than that, yeah, I can't think of anything particularly cringy.
I'm trying to remember what happened to me recently on autocorrect. That happened where I texted somebody something, and it autocorrected really unfortunately. I wish I could pull it, but that can be very, very awkward. I think that's harmless enough, though, that both of you get to laugh about it.
Correct.
It's way worse when you are trashing someone and they're not supposed to know it. When you're just trying to do some harmless, behind the back.
Yeah, we're just answering, just talking behind someone's back.
You're just trying to trash someone verbally.
But we're airing it out accidentally.
Yeah, as we all do, right? We're just trying to do a little gossiping, right? The way Dad did it.
Oh, yeah.
The way Uncle Ricky did it, right? We just want to do a little gossiping behind somebody's back. And lo and behold, you send them the letter to their mailbox.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
Did that used to happen back in the day? You send the letter to the wrong address? This is probably now just a working too quick with technology problem.
Big time.
I don't think the horseback went to the wrong place. You know?
Yeah, I sent this letter just trashing my neighbor to the wrong guy.
The pigeon landed at the pigeon could have landed at the wrong address.
Yeah, maybe the pigeon landed at the
imagine,
wrong spot.
Can you imagine, like, you're like, I'm going to spit game at and end up with Princess Eloise or whatever. And then it like the pigeon takes it to her father?
Yeah.
Like back in the early 1400s?
You think the pigeon was carrying pictures back in the day or...
I hope not. Pigeon's got like a mirror pick that nobody's supposed to see. Drops it off on Dad's desk. That one's tough. I've seen some of those online where you're texting your person of interest and it goes to their parents.
Oh, it's tough.
Not fun, man. I haven't done that. I mean, I'm assuming it's not. I'm not speaking from experience, but I'd imagine that one's not great. All right, Grant and Danny without Danny today on the Fan. Toby is hanging out. Got a busy hour coming up, kicking off the Beltway Blitz at 4 o'clock by giving away tickets, a four-pack to see the D.C. Defenders in the good seats. That's Sunday afternoon. Great atmosphere over at Audi for spring football and the season opener. So we've got those tickets for you next. And at 4:40, Chris Patrick, the GM of the Caps, who got a deal done today with Jacob Chychrun, an 8-year extension. He'll join us to talk about how the new deal came together on Grant and Danny.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.